your congregation, in the Bible, there is a sect that is mentioned by the name of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were masters of deceit. They had many, many traditions that Jesus said had made the law of no effect. And Jesus told them, "You are like cups that are washed on the outside, but dirty on the inside. On the outside, you look like beautiful gravestones, but inside, you are full of dead man's bones." And the reason Jesus said that to them is that the Pharisees were concerned only with outward activity. As long as you did a certain number of external things exactly the way they said to do them, all was okay. Now, the most famous Pharisee that we know is the one who is now called the Apostle Paul. But before he became the Apostle, he was the Pharisee Saul. And we read together from Romans 7, which Paul wrote, that there was one commandment that he, as a Pharisee, could not handle. And that was the 10th commandment. Because the 10th commandment doesn't deal with outward matters, but with internal desires. The 10th commandment goes straight to the heart of the matter. In that way, it's different than the other 9, because it's concerned strictly with our thoughts, our motives, our desires, our attitudes. When we had the 8th commandment that says, "Thou shalt not steal," the 10th commandment was already included in that, because even desiring what doesn't belong to me before I steal it is already sin. When the 7th commandment said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," the 10th commandment was already included, because even desiring my neighbor's wife without doing anything is already sin. And I've already broken the 10th commandment. See, to properly understand the 10th commandment, we have to realize what our duty is toward God. And we have to realize that Jesus means it when he says in Matthew 5, verse 48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So anyone here this morning who would dare to say, "That's me, I'm perfect, I am as perfect as my Father in heaven." No, though there are here many who are righteous in Christ, none of us would dare to say, "I, in all my actions and thoughts, am perfect, just like my Father in heaven." No, the moment we sin, we depart from God and we commit idolatry. Covetousness, says Paul, is idolatry. So the moment that we desire anything that God has forbidden, anything, then we forsake the true God. That means everyone here this morning, nobody excluded, is guilty of breaking all the commandments of God. Well, but then what sets apart a believer? What is it that sets a Christian believer apart from all the other sinners in this world? Well, it is that he is a new creature, born again from above by the Holy Spirit of God, and that he is now a creature who is one with Christ. And already here begins to delight in God. Begins to delight in the law of God. Because a Christian realizes that this, the very law of God, those 10 commandments, are a description of God's character. You want to know what God is like? Then look at the 10 commandments. He is that in perfection. So a Christian who is being conformed again, to transformed into the image of God, wants to keep those 10 commandments. That's what happened to Paul. He said in verse 22 of Romans 7, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Well, only a true Christian can say that, because an unbeliever does not delight in the law of God because he doesn't delight in God. The Apostle Paul, Apostle John said the same thing, and it's true for all believers by God's grace. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. See, to a believer, God's commandments are not a burden. No. We see them as a description of God, and as in God's love, given that as a rule of life, that this is how He wants us to live. Do Christians then keep the Ten Commandments perfectly? No, we don't claim perfection. In fact, even the most holy ones have only a small beginning of the obedience that the law requires. But they have something else too. They have a desire to press on to perfection out of love to God and their Savior Jesus. Not because they fear punishment if they break the law, and not because they're hoping for some big reward if they keep the law, but simply out of their heart's desire to do what is pleasing to God. To show gratitude to their Lord and Savior for delivering them from such a miserable condition. Well, this morning, we come to the end of the law. To look at it from Romans 7, verse 22, and Lord's Day 44 of the Catechism. Romans 7, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And Lord's Day 44, questions and answers 113 through 115. What does the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, require of us? And the answer is that even the smallest inclination or thought, contrary to any of God's commandments, never rise in our hearts. But that at all times we hate all sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. Question 114. But can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? No. But even the holiest men, while in this life, have only a small beginning of this obedience. Yet so, that with a sincere resolution they begin to live not only according to some, but all the commandments of God. Question 115. Why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? And the answer, first, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God, until we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Our theme this morning as we consider the 10th commandment is getting to the heart of the matter. Our first thought, what the law demands. Secondly, what we deliver. And thirdly, what the Lord designs. Getting to the heart of the matter, what the law demands, what we deliver, and what the Lord designs. What the law demands. God demands all of our desires for Himself. That's really what the law demands. God doesn't forbid us to have desires, but all our desires must be towards Him. We all have desires. We were created to desire, created to desire God and fellowship and oneness with Him. So having desires is not the problem. But our problem is that we have so many desires and they are conflicting with each other. In paradise, all our desires were towards God. In paradise, we are always desiring God's glory. It was a whole purpose of which we got up in the morning. But when Satan destroys a life, he brings death to that soul. And then he breaks the bond that binds a heart to God. And at the same time, he breaks the bond that unites all the desires of that heart. And then that heart is given over to its desires. And that person is ruled by his desires. And by nature, those desires, they pull at us from all sides. It's like a tug of war that's going on. To be torn by competing desires. The eye is not satisfied with seeing anymore. The ear is not satisfied with hearing. That's the cause that there's so much emptiness and sorrow in this life. But even when we get what we desire sometimes, we still have so many other desires fighting against each other because they're not agreeing with God. There's something that drives every human being, and it is a drive to get more and more, not of our Creator, but of His creation. Get more and more things and more stuff. And we grab for it with our hands, desiring what doesn't belong to us, desiring what God hasn't given to us. That's a human life that's separated from God, wandering from its source, desiring everything except the one thing needful. And that one thing needful is to be one again with God. To be again received into favor with God. To come to Jesus Christ and to sit at His feet and to worship and adore Him. That's the one thing we all need. Here we see why there is so much misery in so many lives. As our society continues to develop and thinks it's going ever onward, ever forward, there are so many more things to be desired. The more obvious our miserable existence becomes when we exist outside of God, the more the advertisers all around us show us, you need this, you need that, you can't be happy unless you have this and that thing, the more our desires grow. And that's because what's lacking is the uniting of all those desires after God. Because when the Holy Spirit unites our desires, that's the only power under heaven that brings those desires together. So that we begin to desire God alone. There's a poison in us, in our natural state. It is called discontent. It's called jealousy. It's called dissatisfaction. And it distorts our view of everything that God has meant to be good and beautiful. Because that dissatisfaction hides from us the treasures which are to be found alone in God. The treasures that He offers to sinners who come to Him by Christ Jesus. For sinners who seek their life and their treasure only in Christ. What shall it profit a man, said Jesus, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? How immeasurable is the soul's damage that results from chasing after all the treasures that the world offers. And our eyes are blinded for the greatest treasure, the fountain of life in God. So blinded in our natural state that we don't even see the treasures we already possess. And we say, oh, it's Thanksgiving Day weekend. How thankful we are. But if our eyes are not opened by the Spirit, we don't even see our blessings. Now, a person can't live without desires. There's something in all of us that longs for happiness, that longs for fulfillment. But as long as we're seeking it in the treasures that don't belong to us, our soul will be destroyed instead of filled. God's wrath burns against the destroying power of our natural desires. And the reason it burns is because then we deny the greatest treasure that God has ever given to man. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Ten Commandments demand our complete outward perfection. And specifically in the Tenth Commandment, the complete absence of wickedness, completely gone. The Tenth Commandment looks inside the hidden matter of the soul. Goes right to the fountain where all our desires come from. So God in His law does not only say guilty to open idol worshippers or swearers or Sabbath breakers or murderers. He doesn't say guilty only to open adulterers and thieves and liars. All those sins are well known among people. And they're despised by others who don't break out into open sin. But today the Tenth Commandment comes and by it God tears away our mask. Tears it off. That mask that we hide behind as outwardly religious and pious and virtuous people. That mask that people look at and they see righteous and upright people. But God tears it off. And He says, now I'm going to show you who you really are. You see, first we need to be discovered to the filthy pool of unrighteousness and evil desires that lives here in our hearts. First we need to confess our sin of idolatry that lives in our hearts. Thou shalt not covet renders us all guilty before God. But at the same time, thou shalt not covet begins to shine elsewhere. Begins to shine on the beauty of the rich fruit of deliverance in Christ Jesus. And that fruit is not that our desires don't exist anymore. No, if there's no desires in our heart, then there's no life. Then there's only despair and coldness. Now a heart that doesn't desire is a burnt out heart. Doesn't hope in anything anymore. Because it can't fight against the curse and sits in darkness because it can't see the treasures anywhere anymore. That's not a fruit of that rich deliverance in Christ Jesus. No, it does just the opposite. It makes our hearts burn with desire. Desiring Him. Desiring Christ. Showing us Christ's riches and His treasures. And it aims our soul's desires at Himself. The Holy Spirit gives us that faith in Christ Jesus. In the true ideal of life, the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. See, that is a sign that you can know in your life of deliverance in Christ, when that all the desires of your heart begin to agree in one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. When that becomes your heart's desire, that means Christ has come and He has changed your desires. That desire to behold the beauty of the Lord can be so overwhelming, so powerful at times that we let loose everything else outside of that. And where that desire is, there is true life. There's a heart burning with love. Now, Jesus' treasures are freely handed out, and we say, He is altogether lovely. And see, then our desires become God-focused and God-directed. And then everything else He gives us, everything else we desire, we now desire because it's going to be for God's glory. Yes, then we still want to build that new house. But now we want to build it for another purpose, that God may be glorified by it. Oh, then we still want to expand our businesses, oh yes, but not for the desire to gain lots of wealth, but so that God may receive more glory. And that our employees may work for God's glory. See, then we find our fulfillment of all our desires in God alone, as He has revealed Himself in the Lord Jesus. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there's nothing in this world that I desire besides Thee. See, that's the language of the person whose heart's desires have been changed by the amazing grace of God. Who do I have in heaven besides Jesus? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever and behold the beauty of the Lord. God's law demands all of our desires to be toward God in Christ Jesus. What do we deliver? We confess that the requirement of the 10th commandment of the law is 100% perfection. We confess that even the smallest inclination of our thoughts, contrary to any of God's commandments, must never rise in our hearts. But that at all times we are to hate all sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. That's what the law demands. Well, no wonder then that we add right away that even the holiest men, while in this life, have only a tiny beginning of this obedience. Under the preaching of God's righteous demands and the greatness of God's mercy in Christ Jesus, we are humbled. Whoever's not humbled under the preaching of the law doesn't understand the gospel. Every time the gospel is preached, we should cry out, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, His ways past finding out. Whoever lives under the preaching of God's calling, which comes to us through the preaching of His Word, must constantly confess with Paul, I count not myself to have apprehended. But, by God's grace, I may add, I press toward the mark, Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. And the reason Paul could write that, and the reason believers today can say that, is because the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and He changes our desires. Oh, yes, it's true. There's still so much in the saints' lives that is also in the lives of the ungodly. We'd be lying if we say we do not sin or we do not desire sin. But there is a difference. There's something there besides. And that something, that life, that's expressed in the answer to Jesus' question, do you love me? What is that answer? Children, what is the answer of a Christian person to that question of Jesus? Do you love me? The answer is, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Now, how can that be? How can a sinner who by nature hates God and hates Christ come to this place where you say, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. That's because the desires of your heart have been changed by the amazing power of the grace of God. My heart goes out to thee, O God. My heart's desire is to please the living God. My heart's desire is to love Him more than I do today. To know Him better. That's the life that pleases God. You see, in those changes of our desires, you see the glory of God's deliverance. There's no human might that can change your heart. No matter how hard you work, you will never change what's in here. That takes the Holy Spirit of the Lord. That takes the almighty power of King Jesus. He cuts loose the bonds. He creates in us a clean heart so that there's no more bondage to sin and to Satan, but that you are set free to obey, free to love for God, freedom in Christ Jesus alone. When Luther was teaching his students about the freedom he had found in Christ Jesus, then he was accused of preaching too freely. And one of their students said to him, But Master Luther, that means now that I'm free, I can live any way I want. And Martin Luther said, yes, but what do you now want? What do you now want? And a Christian now wants to live according to God's will. Now wants to obey and is free to obey. Finally, set free to love our God. Free and able, out of love, to obey. You see, so that's going to come out, isn't it? That's going to come out in your daily life. In how you act. How you react to people and situations. How you interact with others. But see, a believer is never going to glory. Never going to boast in the practice of his life because he knows there's still so much lacking in my sanctification. There's so much lacking in holiness here. But there's another blessed reality that the Spirit shows to God's people. And that's that blessed reality of a holy, burning desire for God's glory. For holiness, for God's exaltation, for the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's just the opposite of the corrupt desires of the natural heart that doesn't live in our heart by nature. Be careful that you never deny that holy desire. Just because there are many leftover corrupt desires still living and lurking here, you mustn't deny that new desire, but confess it and acknowledge God for it with great thanksgiving. Yes, humbly for everything that's still lacking, and at the same time acknowledging the Lord for what He has given to you. You may say, Lord, Thou knowest all things, and I confess it, my desires go out to the Lord. That's my heart's desire. And no, saved sinners do not keep God's law perfectly. Never pretend, okay? Never pretend that you're not tempted to sin. It only makes you a liar. That's what John says. If we say we have no sin, the truth isn't in us, and we're lying. In fact, we call God a liar if we say that. But we may glory in that small beginning of obedience, because in that small beginning, there is a promise of perfection, of life, perfection of obedience. No, not in this life, but in the life to come. When with all that is in us, we will eternally praise and glorify the Lord, and all that goes out of us shall declare God's glory. And perfectly and endlessly in His presence. No, we confess in all believers there's only a small beginning of obedience. Even in the most holiest persons. Think of the most holy person you can imagine. I think right away to most of our minds would be someone like the Apostle Paul. Or John, the beloved disciple. Or even Peter, as we've been considering Peter's epistles lately. Yes, they were holy men. We could maybe list them among the holiest men who lived on this world. But, says the Catechism, based on Scripture, even in the holiest men, there's only a small beginning. When you see the obedience of even the holiest people, if you see them in light of God's righteous demands, and in light of the greatness of Christ's perfect obedience and perfect sacrifice, and even Paul's progress is small. We read it together from Romans 7, that the language of one of the holiest ones. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. None. For to will is present with me. In other words, my desire is to do what's right. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. See how honest Scripture is. Don't think that somehow you are beyond this. You never will be. Praise the Lord. The grace of our fruit in all of God's children. Yes, only a small beginning. So that with a sincere resolve, we begin to live not only according to some, but all the commandments of God. That's that resolve that the Holy Spirit gives in your heart, that you want to keep all of God's commandments, because you know that is what pleases my Lord and Savior. That's why, yes, we confess we have grievously transgressed all the commandments of the Lord. I've kept none of them. But while in this life we cannot perfectly obey any of them, but here is a sign of life that our heart's desires go out to fulfill all of them. That we hate every transgression of God's law and know it as sin. And sin becomes exceeding sinful, as Paul wrote too in Romans 7. And that we grieve for the sin that's still in here. We cry before the Lord and we strive to enter in. We press toward the mark of the high calling. See, changed desires come out in the practice of life. And it's not so you can look at other people and to see how holy they have become or how unholy they have become, but simply to examine your own heart before the Lord God and to see honestly what are the desires of your heart. Has it been changed already by the mighty workings of the Holy Spirit? Never, ever deny that. But thank God for it. Why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached? Since no man in this life can keep them. What is God's design? God has ordained strict law preaching to be of great profit, of great significance in the life of His people. That's what we're focusing on here. The law in the life of a believer. What is God's design for the life of His church? Well, it's not His design that by keeping the Ten Commandments, we can open heaven from our side and enter in because of our perfection. No, that will never happen. When the law is in the part of gratitude, then the preaching of the law will inevitably lead to preaching of the gospel. It has to. Because even in the preaching of the law, already the perfect obedience and glory of the Lord Jesus begins to shine before us. So that under the preaching of the law, we learn more and more our sinful nature, and we seek more earnestly the great gift of forgiveness offered in the Lord Jesus. See, it's the light of Christ's perfect obedience that exposes to us the darkness of our sins. That's what causes the tension in the hearts of believers. When we hear how it ought to be, and at the same time, we know how it really is in our hearts. And so we cry out again to God. We say, "Oh Jesus, I'm coming back again to Thee." There's never a desire for Christ's righteousness. There's never an enjoyment of Christ's glory unless there is first the exposure and the horribleness of the sin that is in us. We're never going to enjoy Christ's blessings. We're never going to yearn for the love of the Lord Jesus until we know why we need Him. Why do we need Him? What do you need a Savior for? See, and it doesn't mean that strict law preaching is intended to send God's people home after church saying, "Oh, if only I could. And if only I would. I feel so down." No. Don't feel down. Yes, acknowledge it and confess it, but look to Christ and see in Him the perfection that is yours by faith in Him. No, the purpose is to strengthen your love to Christ, to strengthen the zeal of your faith in the precious blood of Christ, in the perfect obedience and the perfect sacrifice of Christ. You may constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformed to the image of God. Until we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in the life to come. Not in this life. That's coming. Dear believer, that's coming. But not yet. So, in a certain sense, we are already perfect in Christ, but one day we shall be completely perfected in Him. See, when the law has that effect, that it gives us that great endeavor and zeal to pray to God more for the grace of the Holy Spirit, to look more and more to Christ, then you will hear it with renewed longing. There are some people, I know, who are saying, "Phew, good, finally, no more law. I'm glad that's over this morning, that we don't have to go back to the commandments again." But you see, when we hear the law, yes, as God's righteous demands, and also see it fulfilled in Christ perfectly, then we confess with thanksgiving how the Lord Jesus Christ has merited for us our faith in the living God. And we serve the one, only, true God. That Christ Jesus gave us His perfect obedience to serve Him. And we thank the Lord that He grants to us the revelation of His glorious, sweet name, Savior. How else would you know that unless the law came so strictly? And then we realize when we hear the law through these ears, then that Christ is the one who restores to us the Sabbath rest that we have squandered away. That Christ is the one who causes us to love His authority in all of society. Christ is the one who gives us that love for the life of human beings when we hear the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." We see that Christ is the one who opens our eyes and fills our hearts to see the glory of God in marriage. He's the one who causes us to glorify God with all our possessions. That it is in Christ who is the truth that we become lovers of truth and champions for the truth. That's how we begin to hear the law. And then the 10th commandment comes. And a treasure chest is opened. Because we see that God demands that all of our desires go out to Him. And Jesus demands the same. And then we say, "Yes, Lord." Even though it's only a small beginning, it's true. My heart desires God. My heart desires His awesome majesty, His glory, His Son. And then with thanksgiving, we receive the gift that only Jesus Christ can give. And that is that love to God. And we acknowledge we love Him because He first loved us. And we begin to love our neighbor. And yes, we do that. We do that while we're bowing in the dust before Him, humbling ourselves because of all the sin that is still in us. Acknowledging that in our flesh dwells no good thing. It's all true. And we do that while we're praying in faith for the grace of the Holy Spirit and praying to this God because we know that He is and that He gives and He gives and He keeps on giving and He never chases away a needy sinner who comes to Him. Bowing before Him, confessing his sins, and asking, "Oh Lord, increase our faith, increase our grace." Oh, that prayer that comes from the Holy Spirit and goes back to the Holy Spirit. We pray those prayers. God would break all the bonds of sin once and forever. And then, the day is coming. You're a child of God. Every tear shall be wiped away. There shall be no more sin. And we pray that prayer We express our desires to God, desiring God and desiring from God the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say on Thanksgiving Day, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And yes, we expect in faith, after this life, the perfection that has been promised to us in Christ already. And so, we come now to the end of the law. But I have to tell you, you have not come to the end of the law unless you have come to Christ. Because unless you have come to Christ, you have to keep this law perfectly. So you never come to the end of it. Never. Not here, not in the life hereafter. But the moment you come to Christ Jesus by faith, He has done it for you. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. For who? For who? To everyone that believeth. Everyone that believes the gospel. Everyone that believes in Christ Jesus. Everyone who trusts in Him. And then it will also be true. Paul writes in Colossians 3 verse 4, and I'll close with that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for the law of God. And we thank Thee, O Lord, for strict law preaching. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the designs of God in this matter. That we may know our sinful nature more and more, but also that we may learn to yearn and to cry and to believe more and more firmly in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we may pray more and more for the Holy Spirit of God to continue His work in us, to conform us to the image of our God. And Lord God, we do thank Thee this morning that by Thy mighty power Thou hast changed the desires of the hearts of so many of us already. And we pray, O Lord, do it for all of us. We acknowledge we cannot do it. We will not do it. Thy Holy Spirit is the Almighty One who can make us willing in the day of His power. Bless us, Lord, in this day. Bring us safely to our homes and back again this afternoon. Keep us from sinning and forgive our many sins. In Jesus' name, amen.